ONV presents Your Mental Health Matters.
Good evening. Welcome to Your Mental Health Matters. My name is Crystal Kelly, and I am your host for the night. This is brought to you by Our Neutral Voices. So tonight, we have an amazing, amazing show. This is going to be the other side of what mental health looks like. We have an amazing guest that we would like to hear from and have her share her story. And who's better to introduce herself but her? So, Miss Alexis, if you can introduce who you are, yeah. Let's come on. Yes, come on. I love it.
First and foremost, thank you for having me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the opportunity, the platform to share my story, where I come from. And then the other side of it, like you said, my name is Alexia Hernandez. I'm 28 years old. I was born in Mexico. I didn't come to the States till I was 3 years old. I graduated from Wayne High School.
Generals.
Archers.
And I am currently the Director of Youth Operations for Building a Stronger Family. So I oversee that department. My passion is the youth. So, yeah. Again, thank you for having me. One last thing. If there's anything, you know, anyone's going to get out of this is... I hope you guys not only hear, but see God in the testimony, in my story. And I can only say that, how can it not be
Come
God?
Come on. That's right. So, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
So being a mental health counselor, you know, we hear a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear a lot of times people not being able to make it out at times when it comes to dealing with their mental health. You know, a lot of times people stay in that hole because they're comfortable sometimes, because they're content or don't have that support. And so I want to hear from you, like, how did you pull yourself out of the hole? Like, when did you start to notice, like, wait a minute, something just don't feel right?
Yeah, that's good. You know, I like the way you put it of, like, when did I notice that something didn't feel right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I can say that, I want to say since I was 7 years old, I could sense something was off. You know, schools didn't talk about depression.
Right.
At least back, I'm not too old.
No, you know, but you're right.
But it wasn't talked about depression, anxiety, you know, what it looks like, what it feels like, you know, stuff like that. And so I didn't think too much of it. It wasn't until late middle school, maybe eighth grade, where I was like, okay, something's up. Like, I didn't want to call myself mentally ill.
Right.
But I did later on. And I had to be okay with saying, I'm mentally ill. Like, I'm mentally not okay. But it was as young as 7 years old, maybe like late elementary and like that middle school time frame where I was like, okay, I'm feeling sad too much, too often, and too strong. You know, what is this? Like, should I think about it? But I didn't. And so I just kept it moving. I was like, I mean, it's normal, you know, as a kid, you know. And then life was, you know, it was going with school. But then on top of just school, you know, home. But on top of all of that, it was the bullying. It was anxiety. It was abuse. It was peer pressure. You know, I was out in the streets a lot, hanging with friends. And so it was like gang stuff, you know, getting in trouble stuff. So I didn't have time to, like, just sit. And be like, okay, what's going on with me? And so it wasn't until the late middle school years where I kind of sensed, okay, mentally something's up. Should I speak on it? Should I reach out to my parents? You know, what does this mean? I didn't want to be seen as, oh, she's mentally ill. You know, she's depressed, you know, stuff like that. So that.
So let's talk about the symptoms. You know, a lot of times, like you just said, it wasn't talked about. So what did that look like for you? Like, how did it show up for you at that age when you noticed in the middle school, like, wait a minute, yeah, something just doesn't feel right?
Yeah, that's interesting that you ask, because when I first started to share my story to people I grew up with in school, it wasn't a lot. It was like one or two. But when I did open up to them about my story and where I was coming from, they were like, what?
Couldn't believe it.
And I'm saying that because these symptoms didn't hit me till I lay my head at night. Throughout the day, I was an athlete. I was a popular kid. I was walking up to school with a smile. What's up? Hey, high five. Yeah. You know, dabbing it up. I wasn't a straight A student, but I had decent grades. You know, that positive person, you know, with a smile on their face, making people laugh, you know, caring for other people. How are you doing, you know? But then at night, everything hit me. Everything hit me. When it got really bad was after high school. That's when the symptoms kicked in and they were more noticeable. And so the symptoms of, like, separating myself. That was when I was in deep depression. You know, like, deep, dark depression. Not the middle stages of depression. Because like I said, that was, that was middle school. That was when I was in middle depression, but I didn't know about it, you know? But when it was, when I was deep into it, I was separating myself from family. I was abusing the drugs and alcohol. I mean, smoking, drinking. I was trying to, like, numb the pain, what I was feeling. It got to a point where I wasn't really eating. I was sleeping a lot. And if I wasn't sleeping, I couldn't sleep. And so I was up at night. And if I was up at night, everything was, like, I was going from suppressing it, and so everything was uprising. And I had to feel it, deal with it. I didn't understand it, and so suicide. Maybe let me try to end it.
Before that, though, were you feeling, or was there something in particular that came about in your life, in your household or whatever, even when you were the age of seven, eight, and then throughout the middle school? Was there something in particular happening in your life, in your family setting, that you thought may have triggered those depressive feelings? Because I know a lot of young people that go through things, they don't know how to handle it. And internalize it, and then it becomes that depression. So was there anything in particular for you?
It was. The biggest factor with me was my dad. You know, when I talk about him and where he comes from, it paints a negative picture. That's just the reality. You know, and people are going to look at him like this monster, you know, and I get it. But he's not that person anymore. But yes, for me, that triggering factor was my dad. On top of the bullying, which I didn't understand or didn't know how to go to people about it. Like, hey, someone's bullying me, you know. On top of, you know, everything, the two main things were my dad and my abuse. And so it got to a point where I had to question my, I was questioning myself, like, why is my dad so angry at me? Why is he, like, beating on me, you know? Just why? I'm his daughter. Like, shouldn't he love me? And so that's when, like, the self-worth, lack of self-worth, like, I'm not worth it. You know, like, I think I'd they'd be better off if I was gone. You know? Maybe he doesn't love me. You know, maybe something is wrong. You know, I'm not good enough.
All and those negative thoughts.
All those negative thoughts creeped in, and that's when I was, like, starting to, like, the suicide ideation came in. And I was like, man, you're right. That's when I was starting to just dig myself into a very dark hole, you know, with my dad. And then the part of, like, why is this happening to me? God, out of all people, like, I've done nothing wrong as a child. Like,
you didn't ask for it. Come on.
I didn't ask for it. I grew up telling God that, like, just, You know, in all honesty, that's something I told God, like, I didn't ask for this, yo.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask for this. And so it came to a point where I was like, man, let me just try to end it, you know? So, yeah, my dad was that factor for me. He dealt with a lot growing up. His dad died at a young age. He came to the States from Mexico at a young age. He left my mom and I back in Mexico.
Yeah.
And so for a while, it was just me and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look back at it, I kind of grew up without a dad, you know? But then again, I didn't.
Right, right.
He was there, but he wasn't present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big difference, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, yeah. But it's different now. It's different.
I love that.
My dad has changed completely from his drinking habits to who he is as a father now.
Mm.
And I'm forever grateful for that because at some point I had to forgive him without him apologizing to me.
That's it.
Right.
I had
right.
to love him from a place that I didn't know was there.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. And again, it had been God to show me how to love him, how to forgive him. You know, I'm your daddy.
Mm.
I'm your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But again, not only has God done a transformation in me, but in my dad as well. And in my mom. So.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the family.
Yeah.
Did family recognize anything different about you? Because you have siblings. You got two younger siblings.
Yep. During my hardship times?
Yes.
They didn't. Mm. No, they didn't.
And is that, I guess to tag on to that, do you feel, looking at it now,
that
they were also dealing with their own depression and emotional issues during that time? If they are. Yeah. And if they don't recognize it basically in themselves, they're not going to see it. And probably the household is seeing it as a norm, you know. And that's interesting because usually you would have at least one individual that would see something different and something's not right.
That's right.
And I don't know what it is to, you know, go from one country to another, especially at a young age.
Come on.
Then even as older people, you know, changing your whole life, your whole culture, basically, trying to learn new culture. Mm-hmm. So, that's interesting because it seems that it was depression or emotional instability with everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe that was considered a norm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a good point because, my parents had no idea.
Mm.
So when I took myself into Parkview Behavioral, I was there for a week. I didn't call my parents till the second night.
What led you up to saying, okay, I really need to get checked in. I need to do this for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I was 19. I mean, it was a few years after graduating high school.
Okay.
I had left college because I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I remember one night, it was like around 1 a.m., just everything was hitting me again. At that time, I was just deep depression.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide every other day, trying to, you know, pills. At that time, I was driving, so I was trying to drive off movies type stuff.
Right.
Trying to hang myself, going to the park, trying to just literally imagining, like, how am I going to do this? It was a day throughout the week, about 1 in the morning, music blasting. The door to my room was closed. It was locked.
Mm-hmm.
No lights were on. It was pitch black, and I was just sobbing. I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was done. I was hurting so much. I didn't understand why everything was happening to me. And I remember taking a pair of scissors and putting it up to my wrist and being like, okay, tonight's the night, you know?
Wow.
Like, I'm going to. Tears in my eyes, sobbings. I was on the floor next to my bed, like, I'm ready. Again, this is all God because I felt this peace. I mean, I'm in the middle of my room crying.
Yeah.
Loud.
Yeah.
You know, playing loud as heck. And I just feel this peace. And I kid you not, in that moment, I like wipe my tears away, wipe my face. I put the scissors down. I took a deep breath, and I just went to sleep. The next morning, it happened to be that I made the decision. I was like, I got to take myself in. I drove myself in, checked in, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until the second day that I called my parents because they were worried. I was like, I don't want to worry them too much.
Right.
And they were just like, what?
You had no idea.
All of this? I mean, from the bullying to the abuse to the anxiety to the suicide to the drugs to the gang to the relationships at some point I was addicted to porn, masturbation. I was in with the lost self-esteem and self-worth, all this stuff. They're like in shock. I didn't last too long because I didn't want to be in there too long. But that's when my encounter with Jesus came up.
There you go.
I had a lady that was rooming with me. Before she left, she came up to me and she handed me this Bible and she said, I pray and hope that this Bible helps you as much as it helped me. I drowned in it. And I was like, there's hope for me.
Come on.
I don't know what that looks like.
Right.
I really don't. But there's hope for me.
Was that your first introduction or encounter?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Because prior to that, I was in the middle. I was like, do I believe? Do I not believe?
Right, right.
And I was doing the stuff that you see on TV, like cussing out God.
Yep.
If you love me, you wouldn't have me going through this stuff. Like, why are you all this? I was angry at God. I was pissed off at God. And so that moment was my first, encounter. And that was the start of my journey.
Ain't that something?
Spiritually.
I love that.
And that's where my brand birthed as well, Product of God.
I love that.
It's a reminder to those that are hopeless.
Come on.
That are misunderstood, misinterpreted. We're here on purpose.
Yeah.
I used to think, I'm just here to be here. No. God was like, wake up.
Thank you.
You're here on assignment. There's something attached to you.
That's it.
The air that I breathe, I'm not just breathing it. No. There's intention to that. There's meaning and reason to that. And so I wear Product of God with pride.
I love that.
Because it's not about me. And I know when people hear God, it's like, But it's like, it's relationship over religion.
Come on.
I just want that relationship.
That's it. That's it.
And so, this is just.
So how are you moving in your life now with your faith and then also your age and connecting with the younger generation and introducing the faith to them. How is that for you? And then how is it received or do you perceive it's received by them?
What I do now is just try to be as transparent as I possibly can. I don't sugarcoat my story.
Come on, straight up.
Never have, never will. Okay? If I've been through something, I'm going to tell you straight up how it is. And that's how I am with the young people. And when they see that, they're like, oh, okay. And then when I tell them the transparency of my journey with God and faith, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
If I feel like it's okay to feel this way. God still loves me.
Yes.
It's a journey. I've had young people come up to me and be like, Miss A, I've stopped self-harming. It's been 3 days since I haven't cut or I haven't done drugs or I have a better relationship with mom or, I've kind of been reading the Bible a little bit or they'll ask questions about God, like who is God or what do you, stuff like that. So it's just about transparency. And I'm just constantly trying to not be perfect.
Yeah.
But just say, God, okay, just I'm here with everything that you've put me through.
That's right.
Just use me.
That's it.
Because I don't feel qualified. Coming where I come from, I have no degree in what I really don't.
But that's the thing. God uses people who are broken.
Man.
God uses people that, like you said, came from nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
Yeah.
And that's why you can be so real with young people.
Yeah.
Straight up. Because young people, you already know, they can smell the BS, for real. Like they can see through that. You have to be honest. You got to be straight up for people to, especially kids, teenagers, teens, to be, real.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything I encourage parents, I'm not a parent, but anything I encourage parents is just Be real.
Come on. Yeah. That's it.
Man, yeah. Just be real to them. That's all they need. I'm learning and I'm seeing till this day. I've been with Building a Stronger Family for about 8 years now.
I love that.
And till this day, I learn a lot doing what I do with the organization that, man, young people just honestly just want love.
That's it. Want to be heard.
Yeah. Man.
Yep.
Yeah. You get on that platform, they will run their mouth. Man, you already know. I was feeling this way this other day. Or,
come on.
Yeah, I did see that. And so just to empower them, encourage them, and to let them know, like, you're not alone.
Come on.
Although you may feel alone.
Yeah.
So how often are you meeting with them? And then what does that look like? Is it like a weekly thing with certain groups?
Mm-hmm.
Or
it is.
Says you're at the school as well, connected with school. And what does that look like? Is it weekly, twice a week?
Yeah.
How does that look? And then is it the same group of kids?
Mm-hmm.
How many kids you got?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So currently it is weekly at different locations, different schools. It is the same group throughout the school year.
I love that.
And groups can range up to 30.
Wow. Man.
12 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both girls and boys, or just girls. And then if it's just boys, then we have our guy mentors.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we just connect with them.
Mm-hmm. And can they just show up, or do they have to have some history with suicide attempts or history in the courts or what have you? Mm-hmm. Or can they just show up, you know, from the school saying that, hey, I think I have some issues and I want to be a part of this? How does that work?
Both.
Okay.
So a lot of times they're recruited by their teacher, a counselor, a parent.
Gotcha.
Or voluntarily.
Mm.
A lot of times they're like, there'll be some that are looking at others go to group and seeing like a positive thing about it. And they're like, oh, can I come? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, now you got to wait till next year, or you got to wait till...
Oh, next year?
Yeah.
Well then, where do you refer those kids?
So we have our weekly youth meetings that they can come to.
Okay.
But we struggle with that because nowadays, not a lot of parents are involved like that.
Right.
They don't want to drive kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying our best to, you know, do what we can in the schools and then also encourage them to go to these other places that we have for them.
Mm-hmm. Other resources.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is it just high school age, middle school, or all?
Middle school to high school.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because looking back, middle school is where I started to, you know.
That's it. That's where it starts.
When
that's
I think
right.
about elementary, it's like I was okay.
Yeah.
I got bullied. You know, that's where my bullying started. But once I got into middle school, it's like my brain was, now it's like understanding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that middle school, high school, it's a good good group.
And what are you mentioning to the kids that are bullied now based off your experience?
Mm-hmm.
How are you encouraging them, number one, to help themselves or tell a trusted adult?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Yeah. A lot of times I let them know, first of all, I'm there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do my best, you know?
That's right.
And if I'm not there, they have to be able to identify individuals that they feel safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we ask them if they do have somebody, they do.
Mm.
And so when that happens, we encourage them, okay, how can you approach them to start this conversation of help? This is going on. This is happening.
Right.
Can you help me? And a lot of times, like, you get them thinking, they'll come up with them.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we definitely, you know, bring up the question, do you have somebody?
Got to.
In the school, in your family, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're like, okay, yeah, I do.
Okay.
How do we utilize them as a support?
I love that.
You know? So, yeah.
So what are you noticing now? Now that you're in the schools, you're working with different populations.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing from kids that they're struggling with?
Mm. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's so different from my time. And even a few years
I know,
back,
yeah. Very, know? Yeah, come on.
Mental health is still there in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
But they're dealing more so with, like you said, being heard.
Mm.
And then just being welcome.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcomed. Without being judged.
That's it.
Without being looked at like the heck.
Dismissed. You know? Come on.
Love. you know? And they're still struggling mentally, trying to process their emotions and their parents. I'm seeing a lot now how, like, youth are having to be the parent. Mm. And that's messing with them.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Come on, mom or dad is out working. If they're not working, it's young parents and messy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's a challenge right now with that, because now they're thinking that they can do certain stuff because their parents are doing it. And it's like, no.
Right.
You know? And social media is a huge one.
We've been hitting on that one. Come on.
Social media is a huge one. A lot of them are tapping into certain platforms that don't have a filter. And also they're seeing vividly
sexual stuff. Yep.
And I let them know that instantly, mentally messes you up.
Big time.
And if you continue to, if you get addicted to it, it'll lead you into certain lifestyles and habits that you shouldn't have been messing with in the first place.
So for our audience, this is what we've been dealing with right now. We have our special guest, Alexis, telling her story, telling the journey that she has gone on when it came to her mental health and still dealing with her mental health. And so these are things that we don't talk about, the other side, that there is hope. Mm. There is power in healing. Mm. And so the last question I want to ask you before we wrap up, looking back at your journey, what did you need? Mm. What could you had to make things better for you? You know what I'm saying? Like,
honestly, love.
Come on.
It's as simple as that, but so hard to give. And know what it is. But for me, it was just love. Mm. When I started my healing journey, I gave myself a lot of love. And then I started to understand God's love, what it was, what it looked like, what it felt. And just to feel him, I had to pour that into myself. And then I was like, okay, this is what I was missing.
And ain't that something? Like, can you give an example of pouring in your self-love?
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
I love that.
Isolating myself in a positive way.
Okay.
So going to the park by myself.
Yeah.
Empty space. And then just meditating.
I love that.
As corny or movie type it sounds like. Oh my goodness, this is powerful.
It is.
And then talking to myself I am love. I am peace. Yeah. I am powerful. You know, got all this stuff. Oh my goodness. Because it's what young people need and they're not hearing it.
That's right.
And so when I see young people, I know they're needing love. So I'm like, you're beautiful. Man, you're strong.
Come on.
You got a good smile, you know?
Those affirmations. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So simple. Mm-hmm. But yet, it's so hard to do.
Yeah.
So for me, the biggest thing was love.
I love that.
Yeah. So now I try to give it to my family because I know we come a long way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I try to give it to the youth because I know what it's like to be a youth.
Come on.
We all do. We forget we were 13.
Yep, come on. That's right.
Left and right type stuff. So that's it. So
where can people find you? Come on. Like your story, you're inspirational.
So
go ahead.
Social media.
Okay.
You know, the first and foremost, social media. And then through the organization.
Yeah. If you say that again. The organization?
Building a Stronger Family.
Yes.
You can catch us online or Facebook. I encourage all youth to check out our programs. But me personally, you can, you know, connect with me through social media. Mm-hmm. This is more so a future project, but I'm working on a book.
Okay.
That really goes in depth of my journey with all the details.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the times where I wanted to punch my dad.
Mm.
You know, when the times where I cared for my mom. And then within the city, at cafes, I do spoken word because I do poetry. So, that's definitely social media, though.
Come on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're about at that time. Again, time well spent, but not enough time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we definitely would love to have you back here on this platform.
Absolutely.
Especially when you get that book. You know, we want to advertise that. We want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Because, again, people need to be heard. And we appreciate you of how resilient you are in sharing your story, because I know this wasn't easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we appreciate that and realize that, you know, being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And being open.
There you go.
And we appreciate that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Neutral Voices. All of you are amazing. This is honestly a prayer answered.
Come on.
Just one last thing, you know, I didn't see myself this far. Wow. I didn't see myself past 22.
Ain't that something?
Mm. And so every year I live now, when my birthday comes, it hits me.
Yeah.
I didn't have plans for myself. Mm-hmm. And now God's plans are, you know, unraveling upon me. It's like, I want to be here now. Yeah. I struggle. You know, parents are getting older.
Yeah.
Siblings, life, finances. Mm. But I want to be here.
That's the kicker. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to go at life kind of a bit ghetto.
Come on.
No, come on, bring it. You know, bring it.
Come on.
So thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity. I just want to continue to share my testimony.
Please keep doing that.
Thank you.
So this is your Mental Health Matters. Again, this is what we do. We bring you hot topics when it comes to mental health, because again, we need it. Anybody that's dealing with anything, please, please reach out to someone that you feel comfortable with, safe with. Mm-hmm. There's hotlines, there's your doctors, you know, your neighborhood, like reach out. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. So we are here every first and third Friday of each month. So check us out. So again, thank you.
All right.
That was good. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I had fun.
Yes.
Have a nice time.